following message is a presentation of Valley Metro Church, a community of believers dedicated to knowing God and making Him known.
Hey, can we give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Because He's good all the time. I really believe that. I really believe that. You know, I want to welcome everybody this morning. Thank you for being here. We're doing something a little unique. We have a guest speaker who I'm going to introduce you to in a minute in an interesting way. But I just want to share this morning about life. My observation is this. I'm not an expert on life, but I've been a God follower for, you know, about 30 years now. And I've been a student of His Word. And I watch people a lot. And you see what people do and how people react, and we have our own stories of how we came up and what we did and what we went through. And it doesn't take long before you start observing life, observing people, really looking at our own lives in detail. It seems like there's a couple of paths that we can take in life. And one path that is common, a lot of people are on it, it's the path of striving, like going after something. I got to make this happen. I got to do this thing. I got to get this deal done. I gotta, whatever it is, I'm going after this dream, I gotta make money, whatever it is, it's like striving after something. And in other times, you see people that somehow learn to rest in God's blessings, either the striving or the blessing. And they're not the same, they're two different things. And the Bible's full of stories of people striving and God intervenes, and people have this choice of continuing to do it on their own and striving, or to connect with God and get in on His ways. How many of you guys believe what the Bible says when it says that His ways are higher than our ways, as high as the heaven is above the earth? You guys believe that? We believe that, but sometimes it's hard to actually trust in that, to trust in His ways. And so there's two different ways. The Bible says this in Psalm 46. It says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Psalm 46:10. Cease striving and know that I am God. And the Bible commands that to us because God knows we get into these patterns of like a hamster on a hamster wheel going after something. We could be striving in an area of relationships where we're trying to get this thing worked out or trying to meet somebody or whatever it is. And in that, I remember that stage of life, and many of my friends were like wondering who they're gonna meet or who their spouse is gonna be, and sometimes got really aggressive in that search, that quest of striving in that area. Sometimes it's pursuing your dreams. Your music, your art, your writing, whatever you're doing, like, I gotta get that done, and going after it, kind of striving. And sometimes it's an area in finances where people are like, oh man, I gotta get ahead of this thing, and I gotta try harder and harder to get ahead of this. So there's these struggles in these areas. It's common to people. Maybe you're in one of these yourself right now. Maybe you have been. Maybe you look around you, friends, family, neighbors, in one of these categories of striving. But I would suggest that when you look at the Word of God and what God's promises are, He offers blessings for people who do life His way. And these promises are throughout Scripture. I mean, the Word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. God's given us everything we need. Everybody say, everything we need. Amen. Everything we need for life and godliness is right here in this book. So He's already given us everything. So we can refer to it or enjoy it or study it. That's all great. But when we start to trust in the promises of God, specifically in these areas of our life, we move from a striving category to a blessing category. Striving to blessing. And we got to choose doing it our way and keep striving, or doing it God's way, where any of your problems, when you start doing things God's way, and you know you're saying, Lord, this is what Your Word says, I'm going to believe what it says, I'm going to do what it says, and now I'm trusting You with the rest. You've taken all that burden in your life, all that weight you're carrying, the stress, the anxiety, the striving, and you've released it to the Lord. And the Lord is like, bring it. Anything you got, bring it. God is powerful. He's almighty. How many of you know He's the almighty God? He says, bring it, bring it. Come to me, all who are weary and have a heavy load, and I will give you rest. Cease striving and know that I am God. Whatever you're carrying, bring it to him. And what I have found in my life and in Scripture from what it promises, it seems that any area of your life and in my life, any area of my life that I choose to trust what God says and do it his way, my problem becomes God's problem because I'm doing what his word says. And God, you're just going to have to come through. You're going to have to. You said you would. You're going to have to. And you can rest in that. Bible's full of stories like that. God, you said it. We're going to wait and trust. And you wait and watch the Lord come through. Or we can choose to say, thank you, God. I appreciate it. But I'm going to hold on to this. And I'd prefer to keep striving and trying to get it done myself. When you see the hand of God in areas of life where you see God's blessing, it becomes pretty obvious that that is the blessing of the Lord. Maybe you've seen a favor on people's lives where you see certain things, and maybe you've experienced yourself where God simply blessed you with something that you could just say, wow, that's just the blessing of God. That you know it was God's hand, it wasn't from striving. And I would suggest to you that the blessings of God are like that. If we line up something with the Lord and do it his way, I like to look at the illustration like this, like an umbrella of the blessings of God. The Bible says we come under the shadow of his wings, right? Think of God Almighty and coming under the power and the majesty of his wings, like coming under, it's like, I got you. I'll protect you, I'll cover you, I'll provide. He's called the Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. He protects, he guides, he heals, he loves, he leads, all these things. But when you come under God's favor, his blessings, his ways, you're under the shadow of his wing. Or we can choose to step out from that place and say, I'm cool, God, I got this one on my own. And anything we do on our own, I'll tell you from experience, and I think you would probably agree, we find ourselves on that hamster wheel striving. But if we bring it under God's way, we go, God, I'm doing it your way now. Now it's your problem. I need you to come through, God. And I would tell you, God is totally fine with that. If I were to ask you guys this morning, do you believe God wants to bless you so that you could bless others? How many believe in that basic principle? That God would like to bless you so you can bless others? Now, how many of you, if God were offering this morning to pour out some amazing blessing on you, like off the chart, wild, amazing blessing, if there were a line, say, right over here, to receive some amazing blessing of God that would just blow you away so that you could bless others, how many would stand in line to get that blessing this morning? Okay. How many of you would say, no, thank you on that. I want to stand in the other line of striving. Anybody? I'll handle it on my own. I'll strive on my own. No, we would all line up for the blessing of God. That's really good. Because hopefully you would sign up for the blessed life. The blessed life is what only God can do. It's not us striving after things, although the Bible says be diligent and to work. And there's a lot of scripture on not being lazy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about striving, where we're trying to make something happen so hard that it's wearing us out and it's wearing us down. And we keep going after something and we come up empty. And the more you try, the further you slip back. And it can manifest in many different ways. It could be relationally, relationships in life. It could be going after a dream or a goal. It can be in the area of finances. But any of these areas, when you bring it under God's direction and God's way, that's when God begins to turn it around and turn anxiety and striving into blessing. And I found that in my own life. You know, the areas along the way, when I came to Christ, I came to Jesus as my Lord and my Savior because I wanted him to take away my sins and I wanted to have heaven and I wanted to be led by his Spirit. So that's what I signed up for. And then it was a matter of time where I realized, wow, there's a bunch of areas in my life that I still hadn't brought under the will and the ways and the counsel of God. And still today, he's showing me ways and areas where he said, well, in the past years, that was okay, but now I want you to bring that area under me as well. Come under the shadow of my wing. Come under the ways of the Almighty, and that's where the blessings lie. Any area in your life that you bring under God's way is where you're going to find his blessing. Now, I would also say this morning that I think most of us would say, yes, I believe there are blessings in this book. I believe God has everything we need for life and godliness. But how many of you, like me at times when you read certain passages, say, I believe it's true, but it's hard to trust. How about more honesty in God's house? It always comes down to the trust. We believe it. We believe it that God wrote this and it's his way and his will, and we should aim at it, but to actually trust is what it comes down to. And I would suggest to you this morning that this entire topic of blessing, the entire topic of either striving or blessing in your life, is going to come down to you and I really trusting God or not trusting God. See, we either trust God and say, I'm going to do it your way and I'm going to leave the rest to you, or we say, I'm sorry, God, I can't trust you with that. I got to hold on to this thing and do it myself. Bible's full of stories of people who struggled with trusting God. The ones who didn't trust God and were striving, and ones who did trust God and got in on the blessing. It's all about the heart, and I want to ask you this morning, can your heart truly trust God? Will you let yourself truly trust God? If the area that you find yourself in anxiety or striving is relationships, you got to consecrate the relationship. You got to say, God, I want to do relationship your way. Watch what he'll do. If it's going after your dreams or this vision or this pursuit you have, and you find yourself striving, you have to say, God, I want to come under the shadow of your wing. I want to do it your way, and I'm going to trust in you for blessing. If it's the area of finance, which so many people are struggling in, financial, you hear this all the time, it puts a great weight on marriages, on individuals, finances. If you say, God, I want to do it your way, I'm going to trust in your blessing. Well, there is a such thing as the blessed life. Everybody say the blessed life. There is a such way. And in fact, when Jeremy and Stephanie moved down here from up north, one of the first things Jeremy asked me is like, hey, have you read The Blessed Life? I'm like, no, I haven't. He's like, you got to read it. He goes, it changed my life, changed me and my wife's life. And in fact, he said it changed our whole church. And I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, our whole church read this and we began to understand how we put things under God's direction and trust in God. And then we began to all experience blessing, all from the Word of God. And so what I've noticed about certain ministers, pastors, speakers, God has seemingly given some pastors an amazing anointing to deliver certain topics, certain areas really well. For example, when Christy and I were single back in the day, we were at a church with a lot of single folks, and there was a lot of people wondering, I wonder if that's my spouse, or is that going to be my, you know, there's a lot of that. There's like a lot of single people, and everyone was like, well, maybe. And so there was this pastor who taught on the Song of Solomon, and that is a love story of the way God does it and the way God doesn't do it. And this pastor was teaching this so well that literally everyone I knew got the CDs and listened to this because it was so profound. It blessed people more than he did it better than anyone else could. God gave him a special anointing to deliver this message. When it comes to the area of financial duress or struggle or anxiety, and it comes to the blessing of God, the pastor of this book that I just referred to, Robert Morris, does an amazing job. In fact, he's done so well communicating this area of God's blessing, how we can come under it or come out from it. He's been asked to speak numerous places, focus on the family, large churches all over the nation. In fact, he pastors a large church in Gateway, Texas. And so because of it this morning, it did bless me. The book blessed me a lot. I read the book. And so I wanted to invite you guys to meet Pastor Robert and Robert Morris. And the only problem is when we invited him to come, there was about 5,000 others ahead of us on this invitation. And so the best we can do instead of bring him to you live is bring him to you via video this morning. And so what I'd like to do, and we haven't done this before here at church, is to be blessed through media, through a video. But there's a lot of churches who do their services through media. Maybe you guys have experienced that before. So there was 5,000 churches ahead of us on this. So I hope you can enjoy it this morning and let's learn what it's like. This is the beginning 101 steps of where a blessed life begins. How many of you guys would like a blessed life? If there's a blessing, you'd say, I want it. I would agree with you. And this is where we begin to get in on it. So if you could focus your eyes to the attention to the screen and let's enjoy this.
Hey, everyone. Well, welcome. Welcome to all the campuses and welcome to all the churches that are joining us And I just want to say to Gateway Church, you may not know this, but we are simulcasting this series in 36 other churches have signed up. So welcome to all the churches that are watching this simulcast right now. We're glad you're here. And I'm excited about this series. I'm excited about this new year. We begin this weekend our fast. It's a 21-day fast. I want you to fast as the Holy Spirit leads you. But I want you to fast something. Please fast something, okay? You could fast desserts. You could do a Daniel fast, which would be meats and sweets. You fast meats and sweet. In other words, fruits and vegetables. You could do a juice fast or a water fast. However the Lord leads you, please do something. I always start the first of the year, but I always fast with you. So for me, I have to begin at midnight on December 31st. It's just something I've done for about 25 years now. So I've already started. And here's what I'm noticing. My love for the Word and my love for the kingdom and the Lord is just intensifying. I can just feel it. And I want you to feel that too. And I want us to enter this new year together, all right? All right, we're beginning a new series called The Blessed Life. And I want you to understand that the church is now, this Easter, will be 15 years old. And about every 3 years, I preach this series. This is my life message. This series came about because James Robison and his team asked me if I would come on their program and teach on giving, because I teach give to give, not give to get. And they said it's the most balanced message we've ever heard. And could you write a book? If a lot of people would like to read and not just listen to the CDs or the tapes, you know. And I said, sure. When do you need the book? They said, about a month. And so I went away and dictated The Blessed Life in 3 days in a tape recorder, because it's been in my heart for years. It's been something Debbie and I've been living, and I've been preaching and teaching for years. The Blessed Life now, the book, millions of copies. I've been told 30-something languages around the world. I've given all the royalties away to this book. We've been blessed from other books. You know that. I don't ever try to hide that from you, that we've been very blessed financially from royalties. But the first one, we gave it to the Lord. Matter of fact, all the royalties have come to Gateway Church. And so it's just God uses it all over the world. Here's the reason: because there's truth in this book that will change your life. I promise you. And it'll change your marriage. And it'll change your family. And it'll change your health. And it'll change your relationships. And it'll change your job. It'll change your life. It's a blessed life, not a blessed pocketbook or a blessed wallet. It's a blessed life. So that's what we're going to do for the next 7 weeks. I will preach 6 of these. Pastor Jimmy Evans will preach 1 of them. All right? So look here at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, I just want to ask you a simple question. Is the word money anywhere in those two verses? No. And the context is judging. Don't judge, or you'll be judged. Okay? Now, I want us to commit to short-term memory, the first phrase and the last phrase. And I'd like for you to just say it after me. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Great. This is all the campuses and all the churches by simulcast, all right? And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Say that. Now, flip over to Luke 6, okay? Now, let's say them one more time. Judge not, and you will not be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Okay, look at the first sentence of verse 37, Luke 6, 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. No, you don't have to say it. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, though. Okay. And then look at the last sentence of verse 38. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Okay, I want you to understand this is the parallel passage, but I want to show you a verse in the middle that, in my opinion, many times the context is not understood. Okay, so Luke 6, 37 and 38. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Now look at verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, let me just make a statement, and this might shock you. The word money does not appear in those verses. And yet most of the time when we hear Luke 6:38, we think about money. As a matter of fact, when we think about the word give, we think money. I was being interviewed by a magazine a while back, and they said, how often do you preach on giving? And I said, every week. They said, you preach on giving every week? And I said, yes. I think what you meant to ask me was, how often do I preach on giving money? And that's about every 3 years. Every 3 years, I do a series on stewardship and generosity. But you didn't ask me how often to preach on giving money. You asked me how often to preach on giving. I can't preach on grace and not talk about giving, because God so loved the world, He I can't preach on marriage and not preach on giving, because a marriage will not work if you're not givers, if both people aren't givers. And again, not finances, now giving. You understand what I'm saying? This applies to every area of our life. That's what we have to understand. Giving is about the heart. Here's the title of the message. I should have given it to you earlier, but the title is, it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Some people say, well, you know, they're after my money. Let me explain something to you. Yes, God is after your, not the church. God is after your money, because He's after your heart. And your heart is connected to your wallet. I guarantee you, I've seen it. There's a string from your heart to your wallet. Because I've watched people, when they start to reach back, oh, it just, it hurts. If God can get your wallet, listen to me, He can get your heart. And I'm not the one that said it. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart follows your treasure. You put your treasure in a stock, you put some money in a stock, you'll start going on the internet checking to see how that stock's doing, and you never checked it before. And you never cared about it before, but you care about it now because your treasure's there. Are you following me? You want your treasure in the kingdom? You want your heart in the kingdom? You put your treasure in the kingdom. Okay, so it's a heart issue, because He's talking in these verses about judgment, condemnation, and forgiveness. Don't judge or you'll be judged. Don't condemn or you'll be condemned. And then He says forgive and you'll be forgiven. And then He says give. Okay, what's He saying though? Give judgment and judgment will be given back to you. And here's the part I don't hear a lot of preaching on. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men give judgment back to you. For with the same measure you give judgment, you'll get judgment back. That's the context of these verses. Judgment, condemnation, and forgiveness. Now, you can apply it to other areas because of the laws of sowing and reaping. If you give a seed, you don't just get back one seed. You get back a tree or a plant with many seeds. And that's the way God is. So whatever you give, you're going to get more back. So it'd be better to give good things than bad things, because you're going to get more of it back, whatever it is. I was counseling with a lady one time, and she was a single mother, and she didn't have anywhere to leave her kids. And so she brought her kids, and we just let them. I said, please come anyway. And she just left them with my assistant. We left the door open there, and I was talking to her. And here's literally this what she said. She said, my kids yell at me. She said, they yell at me. I don't know why. And then she did this. Y'all stop talking out there. I don't know why they yell at me. I said, Luke 6:38, give yelling and yelling will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed. Okay, all right. Now, if you can flip Deuteronomy 15. How are you going to develop a heart of generosity? Well, way back Deuteronomy 15, God tells us what we need to do. Four things we need to do because it's all about the heart, all right? So Deuteronomy 15, look at verses 7 and 8. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you. Notice God's giving you the land, by the way. Notice the word giving. You shall not harden your heart. It's about your heart. Nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly, that would be about your heart, lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Okay, so there are four things that we need to do if we're going to become generous givers. Here's number one. Deal with a selfish heart. Deal with a selfish heart. Look at verse 9. Deuteronomy 15, verse 9. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart. Notice heart again. Saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. And he cry out to the Lord against you, and it become sin among you. Notice selfishness is wickedness in God's eyes, and it becomes sin. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying, now, when your brother comes and asks to borrow from you, you open your hand and willingly lend to him. You open your heart to him. But don't let there be this wicked or selfish thought in you that says, man, this is the year of Jubilee. That means all debts will be canceled. In other words, if he came and said, hey, I need to borrow some money. My crops were bad this year. And you thought, you know what? 6 more months is the year of Jubilee. If he can't pay me back in 6 months, then I have to cancel this debt. See, God implemented an economic system where all debts were canceled every 7 years. How many of you would like to re-implement that economic system? Okay. So if you thought, you know, I'm not going to do this because he might not be able to pay me back. You know what God said? Don't do that. Don't think that way. And here's what he called it. He calls selfishness wickedness. He's telling the people of Israel, this, I don't want you to do this. I want you to be generous like I'm generous. Yeah, let me ask you a question. I asked a Bible college class this one time. Why did God create giving? You ever thought about that? Because God did. It's all through God's word. So why did God invent or create giving? And the overwhelming answer was to support his work. And I said to them, and I want you to think about this. I said to these college students, I said, do you really think? I want you to think about this, because it's funny to me. Do you really think that God needs your money to support his work? I mean, it is... the light bill, you know, in heaven, too big for God. They running out of gold for the streets. I mean, cattle on 1,000 hills. He's running out of cow. I mean, you know what? God needs you. No, listen, God did not create giving for his sake. He created giving for your sake. Giving more than any other activity that a believer does work selfishness and greed out of our lives. This is why I don't like much of the preaching I hear on giving, because it's give to get. Giving you'll get, giving you'll get. And let me tell you what that does. It actually works selfishness and greed back in your life. And how do you think God feels? When a preacher preaches, giving you'll get, and people say, well, I want to get, so I'm going to give. I wonder if God is thinking, well, this is great. All of my people are catching the revelation of getting. No, we need to catch the revelation of giving. Now, I do want to say it drives selfishness out of our lives. We have to deal with a selfish heart. I do want to just say, just for a moment, ladies, that there's an area of selfishness that men never grow out of. I just want you to know, okay? We do not want to share our food. And for some reason, you want our food. And I don't understand it. And we do not want to share our food. The very first time, Pastor Tom and Jan Lane, sitting on the front row, Jan said, I knew you were going to say this, sitting right there. The very first time I went to dinner with them, we were going around the table ordering. I ordered, and Jan said, oh, good, I've been wanting to try that. I never even met the woman, and she wanted to eat off my plate. And I said, well, you better order some, because that's the only way you're going to get any. Think about it. Come on. What does every woman say when you're at the drive-thru? What does every woman say? You say, "What? Would you like something? No, I just have some of yours. No, you won't. I'll buy you two orders of fries. But you're not getting any of my fries. And the fries that fall in the bottom of the bag are mine too. So point number one is deal with a selfish heart. I don't know if that's directed just to the men or to all of us, all right? Here's number two, deal with a grieving heart. Grieving heart. Now he's talking about money. He's talking about giving. Verse 10, you shall surely give to him, give to him. And your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing, watch, for this thing, giving with the right heart, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works. That's amazing. And in all to which you put your hand. If you learn to give from the heart with the right heart, God will bless you in everything you do. That's what he just said. See, we need to understand this is a heart issue, but selfishness attacks us before we give, and grief attacks us after we give. You ever given a large amount or made a commitment, and then something breaks, and the enemy comes immediately and says, see, you shouldn't have done that. He comes in, and grief because we gave. Now, you know, I'm sitting here. Here I am preaching this message, and I had this thought just go through my mind. And after 30 years of preaching, I ought to know to just let the thought go on by. But here's the thought I had. I just thought to myself, I'm going out to eat after the service, and I don't have any cash. I just had that thought just go through my mind. You know, I'm just, oh, wow. Wow, look, $100. Okay, I'm going to start saying those thoughts more often. Okay, no, let's talk about that for a minute, all right? Why, when I said I don't have any cash, why did David get up that fast and give it to me? Let me tell you why. Because I gave it to him before the service. It's my $100. Okay, now, he's not grieving that he gave. You're not grieving. Oh, you are a little? No, he's not grieving because, why? Because it was mine. See, the reason that we grieve after we give is because we thought it was ours. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So when we give back to God what is already his, then we don't grieve over it. So, deal with a grieving heart. Here's number three. Develop a generous heart. Develop a generous heart. Look at verse 14. You shall supply him liberally, generously, from your flock. Watch, from your threshing floor and from your wine press. Now watch this. From what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. God wants us to be generous. We were born selfish. We are born again generous. We just have to renew our minds. You think about it. You really want to be generous. Now, we read Luke 6 a moment ago. If we were to go back and read the context again and back up a little more, and we're not going to do that right now, but you can do that. You go back to around verse 30. Here's what it says. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes your coat, give him this too. And it's just the whole context is lend to people, even hoping not to receive anything in return. What he's doing is dealing with the heart. It's the first thing we have to try to teach our children. I want you to think about that. What do you have to try to teach your children that is so hard to teach your children? Share. Share. No, we share. And what happens? A little neighbor boy comes over to play, and the neighbor boy picks up a toy. What does your boy do? Drops the toy he's playing with, runs over and says, I was playing with that. Right? And the neighbor boy says, okay. So he goes over and picks up something else. Your boy runs over. I was playing with that too. Do you realize what God is saying to all of his children? When are you going to grow up? When are you going to become like your father that's so loved that he gave? You know, I heard a story of my son Josh and daughter-in-law Hannah told me a while back. They have two children, Grady, who's 7, and Willow, who's 4. And they got in the car. Hannah picked them up from church. And Willow said, Mommy, did you know that there was a woman in the Bible that only had 2 pennies, and she gave both of them to God? And Hannah said, yeah, that's a wonderful story. And Willow said, I want to give something to God. So Hannah said, well, pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to give. And so you could see her. She closed her eyes. Hannah was watching her in the mirror. You know, she closed her eyes. She did like this, and then she said, what? And then she said, little baby? No, not little baby. Oh, Betty baby. Oh, yeah, you can have Betty baby. I don't like her. Okay, that's cute. That's kids learning about giving. But at some point, you got to grow up. Some point, you say, Lord, what do you want me to give? And you say, that's great. That's what I'll do. So we want to develop a generous heart. Here's number 4. Develop a grateful heart. Develop a grateful heart. Back in Deuteronomy 15, look at verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Then he says this, therefore I command you this thing today. You know what he's saying? I command you to be generous. I'm commanding you. And you know, on the authority that I'm commanding you, is that everything you have came from me. You need to remind yourself every now and then that you are slaves. You know, every now and then I get a reminder. I leaned over to John and to David right before I came up and told them, because it happened to me yesterday. It was hard going to sleep last night. I knew the enemy was trying to attack me too, because this series was beginning. But Debbie got an email from a friend of ours we went to high school with, and she said, you know, loved the first conference, watched on the internet, all this, but hate to bring bad news, but we've lost 2 more of our class members. She named 2 guys, both guys I did drugs with. One of the guys I started on drugs. And one of the guys died from a drug overdose, another guy committed suicide. I'm lying there last night thinking, thank you, God, for redeeming my life out of that. For redeeming me from that type of a lifestyle. These guys now, 35 years since high school, and still, what a horrible life they must have had for 35 years. Thank you, God. You know, the Lord just reminds me, it's not hard for me to give. You understand? I didn't have anything. I was a slave. You didn't have anything either. No matter what you had, you didn't have anything if you didn't have Christ. A while back, a pastor and his wife had heard me share our testimony on giving. And in this series, I'll share our testimony on giving. And by God's grace, Debbie and I have been able to give like many cars to people. We were able to give our first home away. We've just been able to give very extravagantly, and we love to do that. And I shared that testimony in the church, and we went to dinner with this pastor and his wife, and the wife said to Debbie, I have a question for you. And both of us knew the question because we've heard it many times. She said, how did you feel when your husband said he wanted to give away your house? And Debbie said, I felt great. I felt great. She said, you have to remember that Robert and I were married before he got saved. And every time he's wanted to give something extravagantly, I think, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for my new husband. And then the pastor asked her a question she'd never been asked. He said, why do you think that Robert is so generous? And I'm not trying to set myself up as an example. I know many, many people are very generous. But he said, why do you think that, I mean, he just has given so extravagantly, retirement, savings, all these things over the years. Why do you think he's so generous? And a tear came down her cheek and she said, because he's never gotten over getting saved. He's never forgot where he came from. And he knows that everything we have came from the Lord.
I don't know about you, but that speaks to me pretty monumentally about learning how to trust God really in all areas of our lives. And there were some things that stirred my heart in there, and I'm sure there's some things that started in yours. But I do believe this morning, as the worship team comes up, God wants to seal some things in our heart. You know, it's times like this where I think God begins to shake our foundations and remind us that everything, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. I know we believe that in theory, but I don't know if our hearts really trust that way. And so I just want to ask you this morning, if you feel that you need to learn or relearn how to trust God. I know sometimes we can be childish like the little kid, it's mine, and it's mine, it's mine. And I think we need to come back to the Lord and this morning and ask the Lord to show us how to trust him again. And if that's you, I want to ask if you'd stand with me. I want to pray this for myself as well. There's areas in my life along the way I've trusted the Lord, and there's areas we pull back along the way and go, I think I'm going to handle this one on my own. And there's areas, if we're going to be generous people, if we're going to be generous people in life, then I believe, and by the way, the blessings of God come with generosity, and this isn't just financially. It's to be a other-centered. God so loved so much that he gave. And as he said, that when are we going to grow up and finally be like the Father? Be like our Heavenly Father who is modeled by, he loved so much he gave. And I think sometimes we want and we get, we want the blessing, we want the insight, we want the encouragement, we want the, and we sometimes get so internally focused that God's like, if you would just be outward focused, watch what I will do. If you will pour out, watch how I will fill you. I'm standing myself this morning. I want to ask the Lord to seal this in prayer. So agree with me if you would. I want to just ask this morning, if you would raise your hands to the Lord, not in a time of receiving, but in a place of surrender and giving. Lord, we just come before you this morning symbolically with our heart in our hands and say, God, we want to ask for forgiveness for reverting to be like little kids again, where we say it's mine. That's mine, and that's mine, and that's mine, and that's mine. And we want to protect everything that's ours, and we somehow along the way forgot how to trust you. We forgot somehow along the way to never surrender areas to you. Maybe it's from our past that we are a little afraid, or maybe it's from experiences we had, or maybe we were just never willing to get out of the boat with you in these areas. But Lord, we come before you this morning, and we want to just be sons and daughters of God who learn to be like their Father, that you love the world so much you gave. And I just pray, beginning this day forward, Lord, you would break even the curse of selfishness in our life. Your word says it's sin. Selfishness is a sin. It's a sin. You call it a sin, we're going to call it a sin. Break the sin of selfishness in our lives. And Lord, release a spirit of generosity in our lives. Lord, we know that when we're generous and when we put you first, you're going to give us all the desires of our heart. You're going to provide everything we need according to your riches and glory. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. You're a big God. You've got us. But there's blessings in our life for simply being generous. And we don't want to give to get. We want to give to be like you, Father. Although we know when we do, God, that you're going to show up in powerful and beautiful ways, we're going to leave that up to you. We're not going to dictate that on our own. So I just want to ask you, Father, these hands are not a hand to receive this morning. They're a hand to give, Lord. We raise our hands to you and we say, Lord, take away selfishness, Lord, from our lives. Replace it with generosity, God, and let us represent you well. We love you so much. We love you so much. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen, guys.
This has been a presentation of Valley Metro Church. To hear more messages or to support future podcasts, please visit us at valleymetrochurch.com.